leading us in worship this morning. We're a little short-handed this morning, but y'all did great. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Well, we have, Donna, is this your phone? We're all friends here. We can do that on stage, right? You might need that. But we're making phone calls, right? But anyway, we're definitely in a time where we're missing a few people right now. And we're certainly praying for everybody. We want to see everybody get well. Remember that we're socially distancing, correct? And wearing face masks. And I just keep encouraging you to do that. I know I was driving down the road this morning. I'm still having a little bit of COVID brain is what they call it. We were sick about 2 months ago, it seems like now. But I know that I was turning in the wrong direction. I tried to go towards Pickens instead of Sunset, if you know where I was at. So I had to adjust my course, so I'm still kind of off a beat. I'm missing on every other cylinder. How's that? And so, but we certainly are praying for everybody to get well. And I'm knowing a lot of people who are definitely sick right now. We all do. We know people who are in the hospital who need to have a special touch from the Lord. And so I encourage you all to keep praying. And so with that said, I want to start on talking about being rightly connected this morning. And with all of that I just said, I'm going to talk about something that seems a little bit controversial. And when I say that, I just go ahead and warn you that I may say something this morning you don't necessarily agree with. And we're all friends here, and that is okay. If that happens, y'all know the rule of thumb is that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you want to know what the Word of God actually says, if there is some sort of disagreement, the Lord has placed His Holy Spirit in you, okay? And all that you have to do is read God's Word. Remember, I always say this to you because, you know, I don't claim to be the smartest guy in the world all the time. Sometimes, you know, I certainly wasn't when I thought Clemson would beat Ohio State, right? So it didn't pan out for me. So I don't know everything. I just know some things. But you have to check what I say. And that's just a good practice, not just for me, for anybody, because it's between you and God. And Jesus is your teacher, right? We always talk about that. By the way, I forgot because we're out of routine here. If there are kids that would like to go to Children's Church, Miss Sarah Beth is back there, and we'd be more than happy to take you upstairs and practice social distancing and wearing face masks. So anyway, let's get back to the rightly connected. I'm going to be looking at John chapter 15. And I noticed last night on one of those football games, I was watching North Carolina. Some of you, if you follow me on Facebook, you probably saw me say something about it. But I was watching North Carolina play football. And they were playing Texas A&M, and at the start of the game, what stood out to me was that they had three or four players. I keep forgetting about the fourth guy. But they had four players who didn't go with the team because they opted out for personal reasons. And those personal reasons are going to be that they didn't want to get hurt, I assume, for the NFL. They were going to be drafted. And I'm going to be honest with you all. Those are things that drive me crazy. I can't stand that stuff. If you start with a team, if you're with your team, then you finish with your team. And that's just the way I've always been. I've been told I'm a little bit old school. I don't know if that's just old school, but I think it's also somewhat biblical. And so it looked to me last night, North Carolina would have won the ball game had they had all of their players there. And I just thought, what a tragedy that was. And so what always stands out to me when I see something like that is that there's a certain amount of me-centered mindset that's taking place. And I don't think that that's healthy. In fact, I don't think it's healthy for our nation if you want to keep it in terms of who we are as a people. I believe that if we're going to be a great people, then you can't be a me-centered person. And it seems to be something that we connect in God's Word. So this morning, what I'm saying is, we're going to be talking about being rightly connected in the vine of Jesus Christ. And so the idea is that we're living in a time where it's very difficult right now for us to meet together. So this is where the controversy comes in. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that because of the pandemic, we are all aware of people who are sick this morning. We all know people. Those are legit reasons why we don't meet together. But I want you to know that Jesus has given us a biblical command that we meet together in person. Now, my goal for this series, I'm starting out right now. This is a series. And my goal is for us to learn about how God wants to do Trinitarian ministry to us within the body of Christ. Y'all know that, right? Because we just took communion, and when we took communion, somehow we were all collectively in one mind and one heart. We realized that this is symbolic of Jesus Christ, what he did for us, that we remember the sacrifice that he paid upon our behalf when he paid on the cross. He took our place, right? So we remind ourselves of this, and somehow, as John Wesley used to teach, somehow God is imparting a certain amount of grace to us when we take communion. And so I don't know how God does it. It's that mystery that only God knows. All I know is he says he does it. And so when he says he does it, I take it by faith. It's the same idea when we meet together that somehow we are experiencing a certain amount of God's grace by us meeting together. It's by his grace that we assemble together. And so what God does then is he is starting to do things for us in a Trinitarian ministry, and he takes care of us. We are experiencing things that we can't explain. We are experiencing grace that you and I may not feel in the moment, but somehow God is somehow putting grace into our lives because we meet together. And so I suspect it's a part of that being rightly connected. And that's what stands out to me when I think about these guys from North Carolina that didn't want to play. Somehow there's a chemistry that's being built amongst us that really the whole thing that keeps us together is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit does. And so what I've learned, the older I get, what I've learned is that I can't do life alone. And what I've learned is sometimes we need each other in this life. And we not only need each other, but we need each other and mostly Jesus, don't we? So we're in need of spiritual help. And so we sang a few songs that actually talked about that this morning. I was telling a friend of mine this morning, I said, listen, you know what? I'm going to preach. And I'm going to preach, I guess, today, this morning. And here's what's crazy. Tomorrow, Wednesday isn't going to come soon enough for me. Because when I get into the world, what's happening to me is the world is inundating me with its way nonstop. Every minute of the day, the world has given me experiences. And what most psychologists will tell you is that you are not the same person you were 7 minutes ago even because of all of life's experiences and what we experience. It's what we see in school very often. You'll see students who are a product of their environment because they've been inundated. And what's happened is that they've been molded and shaped by the experiences of their life. So I know by tomorrow, I'm going to have these different experiences that are going to mold and shape me. And I'm going to be in need of a spiritual cleansing. I'm going to be in need of God's grace meted out to me. I don't know if this makes sense, but I'm going to be in need of, by probably Wednesday and definitely Sunday, I'm going to be in need of coming into God's fellowship, if you will. because something happens to me where I'm being cleaned up again. So as I preach this, what I want to say is that I'm aware that we have health issues. And by no means am I saying that if you have health issues, that you should ignore your health and put yourself at risk by meeting together. I don't want you to hear that. Because I'm one of those guys that says, I have faith, but I also am aware that God has given me a brain. And because I have received by faith, I'm receiving the word of God, and God has given me his grace by faith, doesn't mean I check my brain at the door of faith, right? So I am going to be wise. God wants us to be wise. If I'm sick and I have something contagious, I know that just like I don't go to the grocery store, I don't do that if I'm sick. If I know I'm contagious, I'm not going to go around people, right? We're going to be wise about what we do because we understand if I say I'm going to ignore this stuff and then just trust God's faith by trust God by faith, what I'm doing is I'm actually taking the responsibility that God has given me and throwing it off on him. And he's not going to receive that. Y'all get what I'm saying? We still practice being wise about what we're doing. But I will say this, we are a people who we meet together because we're coming together, we're reminding ourselves of two things. We're going to die. I know that sounds harsh. Who knows what it's going to be that takes me out of this world? I don't know. And you know what? I really don't want to know. So I know that I have a date with a day that I'm, you know, it's going to be a sad day, hopefully, for my family. I hope they miss me, right? I hope it's not one of those days, whew, I'm glad. Well, I didn't think this day was ever going to get here. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, I mean, I hope I'm going to be missed, right? So, but there's a day coming. But there's also this idea and truth, I should say, that Jesus is going to return. And the fact that we meet together is it's a reminder to us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, this may feel uncomfortable. We're not always supposed to feel comfortable in church, I don't think. That one of my professors always said, listen, you know what? You afflict those who are comfortable and you comfort those who are afflicted, right? That's really what we do. So if it's uncomfortable, then trust that the Spirit, and this is where, again, I told you, read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I know right now there's enough power in this book right here to do all sorts of things. All sorts of things in your life. So what I'm saying is that when we come together, it's a sign to the world that Jesus is going to return one day. And so there is a biblical command that we come together in person. Now, before I go into the passage, I'm going to say this. If God gave biblical commands that we meet together in person in the first century, when people could be killed and murdered, lose their jobs, then I don't think he's relaxed that command now. And I can tell you there are pastors who will take me to task on this. But I'm just showing you where I'm coming from. And they may be right, but I'm going to stick with what I know from God's word. I'm just going to follow God's word, if that makes sense. I hope that's okay for me to say that to you all. If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail trusting what I read here. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm going to be in John, and I'm going to be in chapter 15. And what I want you to remember about John, Timothy remembers it, is that Jesus is the light of the world, right? And so this is a series, and I'm going to be bringing some things out in the next couple of weeks. But Jesus is the light of the world, and the reason John wrote this book is so that he could remind us of the signs that Jesus performed so that you and I, his readers, would believe that he is the Son of God. Now, where we're taking up our passage about being rightly connected, right, where we're starting on chapter 15, it's coming right after chapter 13, the night that Jesus was betrayed. And so what Jesus is doing, he told his disciples, he said, listen, I'm going back to the Father. I've already revealed fully who my Father is to this world. I'm returning to him. But here's what I want you to know. As I return to my Father, you need to be aware that you're not going with me just yet, but you'll know the way. And he said, listen, but I'll tell you this, I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I am going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, the one who's going to dwell with you when I am sitting down at the right hand of my Father. And the work that you saw me do, it will continue through you, plural. As in the South, we'd say y'all, right? You. The work that I do that you saw will continue through you. And so now we're going to pick up our reading. And I will tell you that the moment in chapter 14, he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and being given to the church, capital C, his disciples. We are reminded that there's something that is happening. A new age is dawning. And you've heard me talk about this kingdom that's already but not yet. These are the last days when the Spirit is here. So we're close, and we have to recover this truth that Jesus will return one day. And so I want you to be mindful of that. I'm going to read verses 1 to 17. It's a little bit of a passage. I was only going to read the 1 to 8, but I'm going to read 1 to 17 because it's just so good. Let's just start with verse 1, and it says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You should highlight that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, sorry about the tongue twisters, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I'm just going to stop for a second. Do you see why I say this is a last day's passage so far? Let's keep on. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I missed 14, but you can go back and read it. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Got a lot of unpacking I want to do. So we're talking about being rightly connected. And you, I really can't hardly add to what I just read. This is that passage right there. You should go home and read through that. You should read through that and meditate upon that because it's a powerful passage. But I want to show you a couple things. First of all, to be rightly connected to Christ, we must be connected in a church. So you saw what Jesus said. And so scholars all agree that when he's talking about, this is one of the seven I am statements, when he's talking about I am the true vine, what Jesus is referencing is this. Israel had this idea, this mindset, that they collectively, as a one group, one person, as a people, if you will, collectively as a group, they were the Son of God. In fact, if you go back into Psalms, you go back into Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all of these prophets, what happened when the Israel became the group of people who said they were God's son, but yet they were not doing what God commanded them, they were actually disconnected from the Father. So the prophets then would say to them, you know, stuff like in Psalm 80, for instance, they might say, well, listen, we were a vine that the Father, that God actually transported or transplanted from Egypt into a new land. He started a new vineyard. And then you would hear Isaiah say stuff like, you know, there's so much injustice in this land. You're a vine that needs to be torn down and redone again. After all that God had done for this vine to make it fruitful, it's no longer fruitful. And so there was a neglect for the poor and the needy, the foreigners, all of these things in Israel. And so what Jesus is saying to his disciples, knowing that what they believe is that collectively they are sons of God because of the analogy of being God's vine in Jerusalem and the promise, what Jesus is saying to them is this, I am the true Son of God. And I am the true Son of God because I'm the one who's doing what my Father asks. You're all disconnected. Okay? So we're establishing something here. So what Jesus is saying, there's a flaw in the vine that you are. The flaw isn't in me because I'm the true vine. I'm good. And we know Jesus is good. Amen? We know that he's sinless. And so he says, the flaw is actually in you because you're disconnected. You've started going your own way. And so Jesus then says, listen, but listen to my disciples. He says, listen, my disciples. He says, you, meaning you disciples, those who are following me, you are my branches. Now the vine itself, the branches, they are connected to the vine. And the vine itself is Jesus, who is good. And the branches, if they are fruitful, they still have to be pruned. And Jesus said, listen, you are clean because of the word I have given to you. So you remember what I said, that when I meet with every one of you, one of the things that happens to me, now personal Bible study, I tend to read to myself. And believe it or not, there are times when I preach a sermon, I will notice that I tweak a few things because when I read it out loud to you all, I actually hear it different. It's crazy. I'll hear something that maybe I didn't have quite right, and I will adjust it on the fly. And so what that tells me is that I'm clean because not only am I receiving his word, but I've also trusted in Jesus. I'm following Jesus. But the cleaning process is connected to the word. When we get together, we are listening to the words of Jesus. Y'all see this? Now, this goes right in the face of so many people who say, look, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, right? I don't have to go. I can do it my own. I can follow Christ my own way. You know, I go back to the days before I was going to church. I told my wife, I said, you know, honey, when I'm in the woods, right? When I'm in the woods, I'm in God's house, right? And I really believed some of that, actually. I would have some good experiences. I would just look at the things that God created when I was sitting in my tree stand, whatever it may be, right? But I just really just thought, well, you know, I don't have to be with those people who tend to sometimes treat me bad anyway. I don't really have to be with those people. But what I'm hearing Jesus say is that I am the vine, and if he's the vine, that means he's talking about the church, because we already know he referenced the people of Israel who thought they were the son of God collectively because they were the people of God. Well, the church is the new Israel. Are y'all with me? I'm putting a lot out here today. And so if the church is the new Israel, that means that we're not the actual son of God. Jesus is. We're just sons and daughters of God because we're just branches. Are y'all following with what we're seeing here? And then Jesus went so far as to say, look, apart from me, you can't bear any fruit. If you are disconnected from me. Now listen, I'm not saying you got to come to church every Sunday, okay? I want you to. Okay, I want you to. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I like partying with everybody, right? I want to be here with everybody. But here's the thing. I'm not saying every Sunday, but I'm going to tell you, when you've got people who go for months and years without meeting together, can I tell you something from personal experience? If I'm afraid I'm going to drift by Monday, where are they at? Is it okay if I say that? If by Monday afternoon, I'm already asking God to overlook some of the things I've thought or felt or might even unfortunately said, okay? If I'm already there by Monday afternoon, and I'm in need of longing for us to get together to be in God's Word, I'm going to say that if we're going months and years without meeting together, you're not remaining rightly connected in the vine. And I'm not going to tell you what that means, because you heard what Jesus said it means, right? You all heard that. You know I'm not smart enough to write this. Are you all with me? This is God's Word. So we have to remain rightly connected to Christ in church. This is where it happens. I'm experiencing grace. I'm being cleansed. And I'm going to talk about that in a second even more. But I'm being changed. I'm getting those experiences now from Jesus that are making me different. But look, let's look at the next thing. To be rightly connected to Christ means that we must produce profit to Christ. And I did that word on purpose. It's an attention getter. Because I know where I'm from, if you talk about money and God, that's their guy. Well, I knew it. That's all you preachers. It's all you care about is money. Well, I care about it some, but not that much. Come on. But here's the thing. Jesus is talking over and over in this passage about the importance of bearing fruit. Now, what is fruit? Well, we certainly like to eat it. It's healthy for us. It's something to harvest it. We get it. We like to eat it, right? I mean, it's just, we think of, or if you've been in church for a long time, you might think of deeds, which is, when you look at the Greek word, it's talking about deeds, no doubt. So we might think of our holiness, our actions of righteousness. Maybe you might think of, well, I brought my tithe into the church. Well, that's not necessarily just all it's about, right? That's not just it. You might think, I showed up for church. Those are my good deeds. Or you might actually see a homeless man and you say, oh, I gave him a couple bucks. Here's some more fruit I'm bringing in. But I'm going to tell you this. The vine idea, right? The church. We already know that the fruit that the Lord is actually interested in is making disciples. Y'all with me? Making disciples. Because he's talking to his disciples. He's saying, listen, you are going to bear fruit, much fruit, if you remain in me. And he said, apart from me, you don't bear any fruit. Now, I can tell you, when we go months and months and months without meeting together, I'm pretty sure we're not bearing fruit. Just saying, I'm in Truth Talk Express mode, and sometimes I hope I'm not coming across obnoxious. That's not my goal. But I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And so, Jesus is saying then, fruit that will last. Did y'all pick up on that? So when we go to heaven, my deeds for putting money in the offering or maybe, you know, giving a couple bucks to the homeless, which made me feel so holy, those aren't the things that the Lord was necessarily looking for. Because if you're connected to the church, you're taking part in the family business, which is making disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. The fruit that I'm going to take to heaven with me is going to be my family, my friends, even my enemies. Because up there, the streets are paved with gold. We just walk on it, right? What I'm really taking with me, the things that mean something to me, if I've been transformed by Jesus Christ, it's my family, friends, and enemies. This is what matters. And so Jesus was saying to his disciples, you are the branches. And so here's the thing. You are the ones who are clean right now. You're bearing fruit, but you're going to bear more fruit because my Father is the gardener. And what he's going to do is he's going to prune you even though you're bearing fruit so that you bear more fruit. And so when he talks about pruning, I know in the Greek what that means is he's talking about cleansing. So this is a part of a larger passage in the book of John. We, you know, this actually starts in chapter 13, and this is where Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to wash your feet. And you remember what Peter said? No way are you going to wash my feet. And he says, Peter, I'm paraphrasing. He says, Peter, let me tell you something. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. Do you all remember that? You see how this connects. You have no part in me. And so Peter then says, not just my feet, but all of me, Lord. Praise the Lord. Because what the Lord understood was that as we're going through this world, that's all these crazy experiences, and I'm going to tell you something, what the world wants us to do, it wants us to be like those guys. I know I sound judgmental. I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you, I'm acknowledging what they did. They did not go with their team and play in that football game. But the world says to those guys and to us as well, you need to take care of yourself. And we start buying into that, don't we? You know what's happening when I start thinking of myself before God and my brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm getting dirty. I'm getting dirty. I need the Lord to wash my feet. Traveling through this world, it's starting to impact me. I need to come back and get cleansed. Wash me in the Word, Lord. Wash me in the Word of God. Let me hear your commands. I was amazed when we even sang that verse this morning about, I want your discipline. Did you hear that? Who says that? A child of God says that, who's an actual branch in the vine, will say that. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I are living in a time where the world is telling you, you don't have the right to meet together because you're being selfish. That's not true. That's an upside down mindset that's completely opposite of what I see in Scripture. Now, our pastors will take me to task on that. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. You know what your job is? Figure out if I'm right and they're right. Who's right? Because there's people in our denomination that are disagreeing with me, I'll tell you that. But you know what? I said it earlier. If I'm going to fail, let me fail being crazy enough to do what the Bible says. Right? I'm not trying to harm anybody. All I know is that we're a people who say we assemble together because we believe that Jesus came once, he's coming again. And if we believe that, you better think that it's important that we're meeting together somehow. Look at the last thing I want you to see. To be rightly connected to Jesus Christ, we must show ourselves to be disciples. You know, I don't know how we got to this place. The American church somehow has said, we don't need to do anything. Because the Lord doesn't see anything but Jesus in us when we believe. And so then people just go and live the same life they were living before they came to Jesus Christ. And this whole scope of Scripture is talking about being able to see. Remember Philip and Thomas, when Jesus said, I'm going away? They're like, how do we know where you're going, or how do we know the way? And, you know, we can't see the way. That's what they're saying to Jesus. He says, look, I've already revealed the way to you. I showed you. So there's a certain amount of being able to see the way that's taking place. And so what Jesus has said then, and that's why I read that last chunk of Scripture, he said, listen, you know what? You're going to show you are my disciples when you love each other. Love who? Who was this written to? Was this just simply written to the world that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, or was this written to people who believe in Jesus Christ? So we know that more than likely the people met together. This letter was written for them to read and go through as a group. And so when Jesus said, you're going to show you're my disciples when you love each other, the world can see it. The world, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little foreshadow to next week. The world hates the church. It does. And the way that we stand out to the world is this. We love God and we love each other, and we're willing to embrace others who are lost into our fold. Because in this church environment, this is where God's kingdom literally touches the soil of earth. Because within this room right now, our King is Jesus Christ. Not just our Savior, but Jesus is the one whom we listen to. We follow Him. When you're on the priority list, we may have civil laws in the United States, but the moral law is what we're concerned about. And the moral law will take care of those civil laws. We follow Jesus Christ. And so if I'm following Jesus Christ, that means He is King among this people. And that means that I am not really at home in this world, but I'm at home when I'm with my community of believers. Now, every Sunday I go to another church and preach a first service over there, Martin Grove. And when we drive through the country, it reminds me of Indiana. Just out, some of you might know, I think it's Riggins Bridge Road. When we go out through there, there's some farm out there, and it reminds me of Indiana. And I'm thinking, this reminds me of home, although Indiana isn't my home anymore, right? But this reminds me of something that somehow I long for it sometimes, to see that place again. When I come into church, it's reminding me of the home that I actually long for. Because if I stay away from church, I'm going to want to remain at home in the world. Now, I don't know if you can buy into what I'm saying, but I can tell you that if you believe that Jesus is going to return, this issue of showing yourselves to be a disciple is part of your test. Did you know that? If you really believe that Jesus is at the doorstep of coming back, standing up and being counted with your brothers and sisters in Christ is part of it. Because I can tell you right now, there are people who would rather just practice their own personal religion and not be seen with Christians. You know what? That's what Israel did. That's how they got disconnected from God. That's why Jesus told him, you're not the true vine. I am the true vine. This morning, you're probably thinking to yourself, you know, Pastor Scott, I don't know about what you're saying, because I know right now there's a pandemic. Isn't the pandemic something that the book of Revelation talks about? I'm not a doomsday preacher, but I know one thing. I've never hardly been duck hunting in my life, but I guarantee you this, if I see a duck, I think I know when I see a duck. And I'll know what to go after. I'll know the difference between that and a buzzard. I'm just telling you right now that if you're somebody that thinks that maybe church isn't as important, you need to sit down and read the Word of God again. I've already told you, just saying I'm Jesus's, that's one thing. But showing that you're Jesus is a whole other thing. If you're somebody this morning that is just simply like, well, you know, Scott, I don't know about this prophet idea. Well, I know one thing. I will tell you this. Everybody receives spiritual gifts. Do you know what those gifts are for? He gives us those spiritual gifts to bring profit to the local church. Did you know that? That's why you get those gifts. They're meant for building up the church, the body of Christ. It's not for you to enjoy. It's for you to employ. Right? I'm just telling you what God's Word says. I could give you some of these messages, 12 steps to happiness, but we also need to be understanding that Jesus has given us commands, that He says, I'll know you love me if you obey my commands. If you're somebody this morning that says, well, I show myself to be a disciple, I tell people I'm a Christian, I've got it on my shirt. Are you standing up being counted with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because I can tell you right now, the world doesn't like that we're meeting together right now. Are you willing to be unpopular? This is the hard bargain he drives. Look, if the American church, if we seriously got back into this again, right? If we said, we're going to start taking what Jesus said very seriously, and we're going to have a better understanding of what God's grace actually does and is, I really believe our nation would be healed. You understand that? I mean, I believe it with all my heart. And here's the thing. I was in the world. Unfortunately, I had to read a lot of this for myself. That's why I always tell you to do that. But when I read that there was a people in this world that was going to love God and love each other, and that is how God's love was going to finally come to me, I knew right then, I said, boy, that's what I need. That's what not only I need, my wife needs, and my children are going to need this. And I came. And I didn't know what I was getting into. And I guarantee you my wife didn't either. She probably had no idea I'd ever be a preacher. But I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stand up and be counted with God's people. If I'm unpopular, so be it. If there are Christians out there who think I'm crazy, so be it. Let me be crazy for the Lord. Let me be King David who danced before the ark. I don't care. Everybody can look down on me. I'm going to follow Jesus, man. I'm going to do it. I can't go back. And I'm not going to go back to that way of life. The world is full of lies. But right here is where truth is measured. Right here. And that's why it's so elusive to people today. Last thing I'll say, and I'm going to pray. Do you not think that there's a correlation between blowing church off and people's relationships with others failing on a regular basis? You better believe there is. Because apart from me, Jesus saying this, you can bear no fruit. So with all eyes closed and heads bowed, right here is where you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you need to know. If there are things you disagree with, ask God to work with you on that, to teach you what is right. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We've heard your word. We've heard what you have taught us. And Father, we recognize that it is actually a little more difficult to be a Christian than what people demonstrate to the world. Father, I pray if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that's struggled with anything that I've said, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. I pray, Father, that you would allow your grace to cleanse and to transform and to help us, Lord. Help us to get where you want us to be so that we could be used by you, so we can show your love to this world that is so lost. We would ask these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.